What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Hawk.
Yeah, I'm allergic to horses. Other than to gamble.
That would have been even more fun.
Other than to gamble on them. My eyes literally swell up like Jeff Goldblum in The Fly.
I can't see nothing. Got to open my eye. Come here, man.
You know how I found this out? So the station asked me to go ride in one of those charity races that almost decapitated Harry.
I would not recommend that.
This was in a harness one.
Mm-hmm.
I got to drive the horse by myself. And my eyes are just, I mean, like a faucet. We get done with the race, I can barely see. And the trainer comes over and he goes, "You're allergic to horses."
Aha! You are allergic.
You know what they do for people that are? This is the truth.
They don't take them out in the back and, like, do anything, do they?
They spray the back half of the horse with a can of Pledge. Because the dander doesn't fly up and get in your face.
Thank goodness Pledge traps pet dander.
I will remember that next time.
You're allergic.
If there is a next time.
From the 7th floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
Downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Kolchak stolen, scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap and Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes!
Welcome in, Cap and Haw on the air on Comcast, Sportsnet, and WGN+. He's David Haw. He's the lead columnist for the Chicago Tribune. I'm David Kaplan. Mike Jacobson is our great executive producer. Matt Rooney, our associate producer. And Pat Gastel is our great director. How you doing, buddy? Good morning.
Morning, Cap. How are you?
Good. Good to see you.
By the way, before we get to the sports stuff, I ran my I'm allergic to horses too theory by my wife yesterday because, as our open implied, you figured that out.
Yep.
And I thought, well, geez, I was on horseback last week in Arizona. My eyes started to water. I must be allergic like Cap is to horses. She reminded me that I was actually having those symptoms before I got on the back of a horse. And I usually, it's an annual thing I tend to forget about. I have allergies. So I don't think I'm, she thinks I was just trying to say that because you had the same thing. So I don't think that I am allergic to horses.
Really?
I'm a little disappointed now, too.
Then we could
have that in common.
The way we could test this, we got a lot in common.
Bring a horse in here?
No, we can wait till your period of allergies is over, and like in July, we'll go out to Arlington and go to this paddock, have you kind of hang around a horse and see if your eyes get all wide.
Because I am a big horse racing guy, as you know. So
we can leave before the horse races start. Just bring you around a horse.
I don't know. I'm not the biggest horse guy. But
I'm going to take you out for a day out there. We're going to have a couple adult beverages, and we're going
to
hang out.
Okay.
You'll love it.
Make that clear. So anyway, big day, big night last night. The Hawks. Best win of the year?
I don't know about best win of the year.
They played their best of the year. How's that? Semantics.
It was really important to go.
Oh, Joe Quinville could hardly suppress a giggle.
And how about the fact that he had Darling in net?
I was surprised by that. I think we talked to Mark Lazarus yesterday.
He was shocked.
Excellent points. This is why you have Corey Crawford. You're in the stretch run. You're a tired team, but this is why you have a $5 million a year goalie. And then here comes the rookie. Oh, my darling. And he delivered. And this feels like this part of it, 2013, in which you have a backup goaltender that you all of a sudden can trust very well and a lot. And I think that's encouraging. He shut down the Kings.
He did. The only goal he gave up was just a softy that I don't think he was expecting.
Oh, that was bad, though.
Bad.
Admit it. When you're watching that,
you're like, ugh.
And it's 1-1, and you're thinking, what's he doing? What's Quenville doing? Crawford's, you know, should be in there. This is going to be a disaster.
Man, he was phenomenal.
And anytime the Kings get further away from the playoffs, it's good news for everybody in the West, including the Blackhawks. So that was quite a game. That was a big statement, I think. Do the Hawks frustrate you or encourage you at this point if you're a Hawks fan? Because when they look like they have the last two nights at Winnipeg and against the Kings, two very good playoff caliber teams.
You go, that team can make noise again.
No, that team can win it again.
Yeah.
That team is going to do more than make noise. That team is going to celebrate. That's what they look like. And yet, it wasn't that long ago. It was last week. Was it Friday night when Crawford got chased?
Against Columbus.
Columbus at home. And then you think, geez, where are they going to get the offense? These midseason trades were awful, and this team is going nowhere. There's a first-round exit waiting to happen. So which is it? And do you have frustration or do you have elation when you watch the Blackhawks these days, when you see them play up to their capabilities like they did last night? Because I look at that and I think, okay, they know exactly everything that people say about them is true. They know where the switch is. It's late March, last day of March. They know it's about time to flip it. They can fall behind 2-0 to the Blues in a playoff. They can fall behind 3-1 to the Red Wings. They know where the break in case of emergency glass is, and they can turn it on.
I still have my questions against St. Louis because they're so physical. But then the Blues go out last night and get beat at home.
I don't know who, if it matters who the opponent is. If the Hawks are clicking on all cylinders, to me, they are still one of the two teams in the West to beat. And the other one, as crazy as this sounds, and I tweeted this last night and I got some interesting responses. The other team to beat in the West is still the Kings. Last night, those are the two teams that nobody wants a part of the Minnesota Wild. Mm-hmm. I understand that. They are the hot team, the best team in the league since January. But if I'm going into the playoffs, I don't care what the seedings are, who has home ice. I'm looking at experience, moxie, and depth. And I don't want to play the Kings or the Blackhawks. I like those two teams in the West.
I would take the Kings. Something's missing there this year. I know they've proven that they can win from any spot in the playoffs. They won from the 8th seed. Something's not right there.
They were down 3-0 in the first round of the playoffs last year.
And came back.
And they celebrated.
Right.
With a cup. I would not rule them out of anything. I would not sleep on the Kings. All right, so we'll get to the Blackhawks because there's plenty more to look at there. And you know, there's some suggestions that what does the Scott Darling development mean, short-term, long-term, to the Blackhawks? It could have some more long-term implications than short-term because nobody is suggesting that we have a goalie controversy, but it does give you some options in the offseason. So we have Blackhawks to talk about. We're going to have Dave Lato in studio, Cap.
9:40,
the new DePaul head coach, the same as the old DePaul head coach, was out there yesterday at that, I hesitate to call it a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like a rally. Jean Lenti Ponsetto talked for 12 minutes before she introduced the head coach. She did not take questions at the podium. She took them off to the side. Not sure why that happened that way.
She takes some heat.
What do you mean?
Like in the one-on-ones or the
heat. I asked her three-pointed questions.
Yeah.
She was there for 9 minutes.
It wasn't all kumbaya.
Well, I didn't get a kiss on the cheek. Some other people covered the press conference, got kisses on the cheek. I didn't get a kiss on the cheek.
I would have.
You would have.
She's my friend.
You'd have gotten a warm hug and a kiss.
I love Jeannie.
I respect and like her too.
That said, I have to ask Dave Lato when he comes in here, who I like very, very much. Had a good relationship with him when he was the DePaul coach first time.
Stop qualifying, because that always is the case with DePaul basketball, and you're not the only one.
That said,
you have to couch it with, I like these people. They're good people. I really like what they're doing out there. They're quality individuals. But.
Well, I'm just saying I don't have it's not like I have an axe to grind or I'm not.
It's not. There's no agenda.
Dave, if I was the AD, I couldn't bring you back because you left us. Do you understand that perspective?
See, I don't get that with you. I don't get that thing. There are many reasons why I would not have hired him, and that's not even high on the list. But I understand it. I just don't have that whole thing. I think that the Virginia job he had to take. When he left here, he had to go.
I don't disagree, but then don't expect to come back.
Okay, there are other reasons why I would not have brought him back. I don't think it creates a newness for a program that is in need of a revival, okay? You need a revival, not a reunion. And this is no way to create enthusiasm, I think.
But you're the same guy that always says to me,
experience?
I don't care about winning the press conference. I don't want Dan Quinn. I want someone who's been there, done that. Dave is the only guy that's had more, success since Joey, really.
It's more about the press conference, Cap. It's not about winning the press conference. Dave Leto actually won the press conference.
Mm-hmm.
If you're keeping score of the press conference, it's Dave Leto in a narrow victory, 63-58, Dave Leto wins the press conference because he was magnificent. He was strong. Dave Leto's character speaks for itself, and he spoke with emotion. He engaged. He's a man of character. I respect the heck out of Dave Leto, the basketball coach. But I think when you start recruiting and you start to get people excited to want to buy a season ticket, to want to support your team, to the intangibles, I don't think that you do that by dipping back in the past 10 years. I think that you do that by going for a coach that is on the rise and the arrow pointing up and gets people reinvigorated, whereas this probably has a short-term, to me, my opinion, a short-term gain. Even though I think he's a quality guy, and has done it before, the fact that he has done it before makes me question how sustainable it is. Because I think it's a harder job now. It's a different job.
Tougher job. No question about it.
You're not in the Conference USA anymore. You're in the Big East that had the second highest rated RPI among conferences. You had six teams in the NCAA. I like that he established from day one, we're going to be in the NCAA tournament, he said. That was bolder than either Jerry Wainwright or Oliver Purnell dared to be.
OP never said that.
I have to giggle when you call him OP. So is Dave Leto, is it fair to question the process and still say that you respect him as a coach? I think you can be. You can
yes.
do that. Yeah, because I do. Now here's a question for you, Cap, and for anyone else, 312-235-2525.
And let me ask you one then, too.
In 3 years from now, that's a fair,
mm-hmm.
even 2 years from mm-hmm. now, because they've got some talent at DePaul.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing that was implied yesterday. There's talent there. Who's further along as far as NCAA tournament progress or the program's health? John Gross at Illinois or Dave Leto at DePaul?
It's a great question.
Who are we going to be talking about, you know, making the NCAA tournament, making a run to the Sweet 16, who their draw is, Sunday. Who are you going to be sitting at covering in 2 or 3 years? John Gross, still at Illinois, got things going because there's a lot of questions now about his offseason and his, you know, spot. The seat has gotten hotter in Champaign. Or Dave Leto, who's coming back, stabilize the program, point it forward, and get to the tournament that he identified yesterday as the number one goal. Who's going to be ahead? And is it fair to compare the programs? I think you have to compare the programs. I think they should be comparable.
It's a great question. I think it might be easier for Dave playing in the Big East to get to the tournament than John Gross in the Big Ten.
Okay. So think about that one. And we'll get to DePaul. Dave Leto, 940. Also, Derrick Rose.
Took contact. That's sweet of him.
Did not take questions, but he did take contact.
We'll get to that. I want to ask you a quick question before we go to break.
All right.
If they had never hired Parker Executive Search, and they had announced the resignation of OP, and 2 days later, Jeannie stood up and said, we've been waiting on this, Dave Leto's the coach. Would you look at it differently?
No.
You would not?
I would not. I still think it's dipping into the past. I don't think, Cap, I think the Parker Search firm was a ruse. I know that they got him in contact, but you can't tell me that a national search firm encouraged three people who were running this search, who hired Dave Leto the first time or involved and know him well. This was an internal search. This was a Gene Lenti-Ponsetto show, and Doug Bruno was involved, university president was involved, and I'm not sure it went beyond that. Also, they interviewed Tim Floyd. We need to talk about that.
How about that?
Also, we're going to talk some Cubs because Javi Baez, Chris Bryant, and Addison Russell.
All down in the minors.
Yeah, they're minor leaguers.
And no surprise, right decisions.
What does it say, though? What does it say, though, about prospects? Your guy Rick Morrissey weighs in this morning in the Sun-Times. How'd you like that column?
Yeah, it was interesting what he wrote about Baez. On the Bryant front, anyone who doesn't see what they're doing, I'm sorry for your lack of ability to see what makes so clear sense.
Sorry for the loss?
For your loss.
Of common sense?
My goodness. Jeez, all put right. the booze down
so,
early.
Big show.
Big show. A lot to do. 312-235-2525. We got Hawks, DePaul, college buckets, baseball. It's all for you. It's Cap and Haw. Be right back.
More Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN+.
I thought it was an excellent game from the outset. We had good jump. I thought we had good consistency in the lines. Everything going our way tonight. I was very happy with the quality and the quantity of chances we did have.
Well, he sounds happy, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. Good win for the Hawks last night. I was out there 4-1. Your final 312-235-2525. Edzo weighing in on the text line.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, 312-235-2525.
What abbreviated words did he send us today?
Love it. Horse talk.
Of course. Love Eddie with the incomplete sentences, but you know what he's thinking.
He's the greatest. Yep. 312-235-2525.
They were having a lot of fun last night. I enjoyed Pat and Eddie on watching the Hawks television. You were at the game. Mm-hmm. And it just it felt like you were watching the playoffs at times. It probably felt like a playoff atmosphere. You know, a lot of things stood out about that game. And obviously, you know, the Hawks win, and we're talking about Darling, you know, getting the victory in place of Corey Crawford. I thought Teuvo Teravainen was terrific.
Outstanding.
You know, no matter what line that they place him on or juggle him around on, he has been – impactful. He's playing with a lot of confidence. And I think the things that you had heard about him a year ago about now when they brought him up, remember how I was doing cartwheels and I was like leading the charge and Teuvo mania and I got way over my skis. And it was, I was part of a group that thought, oh gee, you know, mesmerized with his talent. And I think it's fun to see a young player like that burst onto the scene. Then he gets sent back. And I think maybe not to sort of dovetail the two ideas, but the people that are disappointed in Javi Baez going down to Iowa. Mm-hmm. And I think there are a lot of people that are a little disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's
Gordon
so much.
Gordon Wintonmeyer among them.
So many high expectations and reports that he was going to be part of the opening day lineup mm-hmm. and Major League roster. This isn't a death sentence for Javi Baez's career. It doesn't have to be. I think a year ago, Teuvo Teravainen came up to the Hawks, and we thought, okay, here's Gretzky part two. Here's Patrick Kane the second. And he had to toil in Rockford for a while. He's gotten better. He's gotten stronger on the puck. He's a more refined game. And last night, I think, against the Los Angeles Kings veteran team, good team, you saw Teuvo really doing some nice things. 8 shots on goal.
He looked great.
It's aggressiveness.
Their power play looked better, too.
Power play has been very good lately. Andrew Shaw has been very effective. Bickle always plays pretty well against the Kings for some odd reason.
They had a jump in their step last night, you could see.
Which is odd, isn't
it? Johnny Oduya played well.
Oduya, finally. You needed that. He looked like the guy before the injury. And isn't it odd, though, Cap, that before the game, we talked here yesterday, there was some fear about, okay, you're coming back from Winnipeg. You're coming off a very big victory in the last 30 seconds that you needed. There could be a letdown. And Eddie even says you come home after a road trip, and even though it's a one-game road trip, there's a bit of a adjustment. And yet they looked like the fresher team. And even Jalmerson said sometimes playing the second end of a back-to-back, you're looser. It's easier. And they looked fresher.
They did. And to have a back-to-back win like that, and have good play out of Scott Darling, it gives you options going forward.
Brandon Saad was all over the place.
When he got sandwiched,
yeah,
and they had to help him off the ice, I thought, oh, God, there's a concussion.
I did, too.
And then you saw him being taken to the dressing room. There was a minute 40 left when he got hit in the period. And my wife goes, that's got to be a concussion. I go, well, they're at least going to do the protocol underneath mm-hmm. there, which I'm sure is what they did. And then I looked up, and there he was back on the ice.
Not only back on the ice, but he making a big impact.
Force.
I mean, that was a guy that when he plays like that, again, they have so much talent. And they have so much depth.
You know who else got crunched into the boards? And I would not be shocked if he's a little woozy today.
Who?
Andrew Shaw. He got driven into the boards. Whoa. But they were after Jake Muzzin. I think he was one of the guys that sandwiched Saad. They must have bounced him around like a pinball 3 times, and then finally, I think it was, who got the penalty, Bickle or Shaw? I think it was Shaw. Stick in the face, and they got him. But, boy, they popped him 3
He's
times.
He's had a tough couple games, Shaw, against Winnipeg with Buffalo, and then last night against the Kings, and it was the return of Alec Martinez.
Yeah. Don't want to hear that name. The guy scored the goal in game 7. George in Wheaton, welcome to Cap and Hall. What's going on there, Sparkles?
Hey, George.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Great show. Best sports talk radio in Chicago.
Thanks.
I appreciate listening to you guys. My comment is this, and I want to hear what your guys' thoughts are on this. With the Hawks, we talk a lot about the offense and when it's lacking, and we obviously talk about the goalies when we lose. But something that's occurring to me, or that I've seen a lot this year, it seems like on the defensive side, we're not winning the board battles. Cap, you said earlier that something seems to be missing. To me, it's the defensive kind of enforcement that we had, where we would win those board battles in the defensive zone. And it's like some of these games, if Crawford and Darling, in some cases, if they're not like a Cirque du Soleil acrobat, we're losing that game, and we're losing it pretty heavily. So I don't know. Just wanted
George,
your guys'
that's
thoughts
a good observation. I think, and thanks for the
thanks
phone
for
call.
Thanks for the call, George.
Sure thing, guys.
The one thing I'd say is that in the 10 games after Patrick Kane went down, it is almost like the defense tightened up, right? They were 8-1-1. And then they might have, it seemed like then they went on in a little bit of a rut. But what he's saying, I think, defensively, the physicality, you look at the best Hawks defensemen, Hjalmarsson, Duncan Keith, these aren't guys that are getting it done because of their brute force and strength. They're not Brent Seabrooks, right? They have a skill set, a quickness, an innate ability. So I guess his point is well taken, and they're going to have to be more physical defensively against teams like the Blues in the playoffs, and that will be the true test of this team. You haven't seen it consistently enough to feel good about their defense, and I think that's probably the point he's making.
All right, 312-235-2525. Dave Leto is going to be in our studio in about 15 minutes. Mike in Palos Hills wants to talk about his hiring. We will get to him after a quick timeout.
Did you see on Twitter, Cap, Sean Iceman tweets that Kenny Mayne on SportsCenter used...
Yeah, I used the Stifle Tower.
Stifle Tower?
Yeah, thief.
Who was he referring to? Not Scott Darling, because the Stifle Tower has to be Corey Crawford.
He was talking about somebody with the Utah Jazz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he was talking about Rudy Gobert, the center for the Jazz.
Did he steal it from you, or did you lift it from him?
I didn't steal it from him.
Okay.
I stole it from someone else.
At least you're honest.
312-235-2525. 312-235-2525 is our number. Also, Dan O'Dowd, former GM of the Rockies, mm-hmm. weighing in on the Chris Bryant situation. We got to talk about that as well. We'll be right back.
More Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet and WGN Plus.
Critics in anything are part of what we do. They want their passion. That's part of passion. You have to understand. I think sometimes coaches don't get that. People want to win and they want to see things going in the right direction. When they don't, it's their right to criticize. And so I understand that.
In some way, shape, or form, there was going to be a faction with no matter didn't like who we hired. And so you have to recognize that when you do this. I mean, it's happened every time. And in every coaching search that we've had.
That's Dave Leto, who'll be in our studio in about 10 minutes. And we'll talk to the brand new DePaul basketball coach. That was Gene Lenti Ponceto, his boss.
And I think it's important.
Welcome back to Cap and Haw.
I think it's important to distinguish this. We all have, to some degree, questioned the process and questioned the decision. Mm-hmm. Because it's unorthodox. And I think even Dave Leto referred to this as unconventional. Mm-hmm. And then he was pleasantly surprised to be included in the process. Mm-hmm. So when a program...
Well, he wanted the job when Oliver Purnell got
5 years ago.
And they said, no, can't go down that road. That changed this time.
When a program's kind of steeped in the past, kind of stuck in the past, perception-wise, goes to the past for its new head coach, it does create a level of cynicism, skepticism, that I think all is appropriate and fair. But I think you also can be adult enough about this to realize that when the person they hired, when they did dip into the past and do things in a safe, familiar way, is a man of great character and said all the right things and handled himself in a way that was emotional, engaging, and like a guy who had done it before. I don't know that it's important that you win the press conference. I think that convincing the media and the fans who were there, the DePaul community that that gathered, is less important than being able to walk into Simeon or Marshall or any Chicago school or Stevenson, the suburbs, and be able to convince the elite talent in the city, in the area, that this is a guy who's going to turn things around. That's important. And I just wonder if he, if not Dave Vlado, if any coach that is the guy who has been here before symbolizes change to the degree that you need to symbolize change if you're DePaul. That's what I question.
Okay, now I could tell you that you could spin it this way.
Okay. Do it, because I want to hear this argument.
Okay, because when he left DePaul to go to Virginia, it was for significantly more money than DePaul was
significantly
paying. Significantly.
And it was the right move.
Now maybe he says, look, it was a really good marriage when I was here. I left because it was the ACC and it was life-changing money. They're more committed now to getting it done, and it worked out in my career that this is where I was able to land. Let's put the marriage back together. Because in the end, if he goes into Stevenson Simeon or XYZ High School in Okmulgee, Oklahoma, and he ends up with really good players and goes to the tournament, nobody cares what happened at the press conference.
I respect your spin. I think it's probably the way you have to look at it if you're DePaul, and you want to look at it if you're a Dave Vlado fan. I think you do want to see that, Cap. But here's the thing. Sports is all about precedent, right, or examples. Show me one that worked that way. That's what I'm lacking right now. I need to find it. Maybe it's my own fault. I haven't done the research. I've been able to find an example. Tell me an example where this has worked before, where they have gotten a it sounds derogatory to say a retread or a recycled coach, but you're recycling your own coach.
Well,
somebody, a reunion type event. Show me an example where that's worked.
I was talking to Steve McClain yesterday, the new UIC coach. He used to be Billy Tubbs' assistant. Billy was at TCU. He had been at Oklahoma.
Right.
Was at TCU. And he got a call. Oklahoma was open. Do you want to come back? And he said to the staff, Oklahoma wants me back. And they said, what do you think? He said, you can't go back.
You can't go home again.
He said, once you leave, you can't go back.
There's a lot of people in the business that believe that. And there's a lot of reasons why they believe that. And I think maybe I am influenced by that, guilty as charged, more than I'm affected by the idea that this was maybe the best coach they could have gotten. Look, yeah, I don't want to be a hypocrite here, and I'm questioning my own judgment sometimes because I think it's all part of the whole discussion. But when you look at it objectively, can you tell me that Bryce Drew or Bobby Hurley were more accomplished head coaches than Dave Vlado? I don't think that I could make that argument.
Right.
I don't. But I think anytime you hire somebody, anytime you sign somebody, it's about potential. It's not about the past. And I think that's why I would have liked to have seen DePaul do something that they typically don't do. Roll the dice, go young, start fresh. Because you've got a new building to fill, you've got excitement to generate, you've got a community to galvanize. And I just don't know if the best way to do that, Cap, is going back 10 years and hiring a guy that you had here a decade ago.
And again, I you saw what I tweeted when they did it. Love Dave Vlado. If I had been the AD, I couldn't have made the hire simply because he left. That doesn't mean he isn't a damn good basketball coach. What if he, in 2 years, they play next two seasons at Allstate, and then they get into the new arena, and he's got a cupboard full of players, and they're going to the tournament. Everyone would be like, boy, that was a brilliant hire.
Absolutely. And in fairness,
so it's on him.
It's on him, and they have an opportunity here. And nobody should be held it's fun to do in the media, and we can play the gotcha game. Great. Your first impressions are your first impressions, and your initial opinions based on what you're seeing in front of you are everybody has them. But you could they change. Things evolve over time.
But why then when the Bears could have hired Dan Quinn or the Bulls movement?
Is this going to get back to Cutler?
No.
Okay.
I want to make it have a week where we don't mention
okay.
his name.
I just want to know. Is this going back to Cuddy like it did yesterday when I was talking about Aaron Rodgers?
Right.
Okay.
It was my shot to kick a little dig at
Cuddy. All right, so the Dan Quinn thing.
Okay. when I said, let's go get Dan Quinn. It's fresh. It's new.
Yeah.
Todd Bowles. Fresh, new. Yeah. Take a shot.
Right.
You hired, in your mind, a 60-year-old retread, so to speak.
Yes, because it's apples and oranges, Cap.
It wasn't a team coming off 10 wins trying to get to the next level.
It's apples and oranges because I don't think that the comparing...
And I'm not saying John Fox isn't a good hire. I'm just asking you your question.
I know what you're saying. You're saying, you're asking me to be consistent.
Yeah.
Say, if you didn't want the fresh guy for the Bears, why did you want it for DePaul? And I think because they're not really comparable situations. I think the Bears were coming off a situation in which they went the experimental route. They tried with Mark Trestman. They needed credibility badly. They needed stability worse. And I think that when you went for a guy in John Fox who has proven track record, you knew what you were getting. And with DePaul, I think that you went the last two times that you knew what you were getting. You were getting somebody in Jerry Wainwright and then later in Oliver Purnell, or OP as you call him, that had a lot of respect in the industry, a lot of respect in the business. And it didn't work either time. They did recruit tremendous young men. They graduated them. They succeeded by that measure, but they didn't win enough. And so I think that they're not comparable because now if you're DePaul, you can have your experimental phase. You're allowed to roll the dice, and you should, in my mind, because it hasn't worked the other way. Whereas with the Bears, I think that you had success with Lovie Smith, who was a John Fox type, right? Defense, running game, conservative, track record. And so you went back to that if you're the Bears. If you're DePaul, I would have tried another way.
All right, let's bring Mike and Palos Hills in, and we'll take a break and bring in Dave Lato. Mike, what's going on there, Sparkles?
Hi, Mike.
Morning here, Double Dave. Listen, I have a couple of things I'd like to say. First off, do you guys know who initiated the interview with Lato and Genie? Because he was what, an assistant coach at Tulsa?
Yeah, he'd been the assistant at Missouri, and then when Frank Haith left Missouri, Dave went with him to Tulsa.
Right, which means he didn't last long at Virginia.
He was he was actually at Virginia, 5 years?
Yes, no.
And he won an ACC title there.
Yeah, you have to give credit where credit is due there, Mike.
Okay. The second thing I wanted to make a statement of was I heard last night on a local news show from a sports anchor that when Bryce Drew and Bobby Hurley got interviewed, that supposedly they refused the job after the interview. Is that true?
Who's the sports anchor that said that? Because I don't believe that to be true.
The guy from CBS.
Ryan Baker?
Yes.
Okay. Well, maybe he has information. Thanks for the phone call, Mike, that he's privy to that I'm not. But I am not aware, Cap, that they turned the job down. I have been told, as I think you have, that Bryce Drew had some questions that emerged that maybe he didn't have before the interview. But I think Bobby Hurley, from what I was told, also was kind of excited about the prospect of coaching at DePaul.
Yep.
Consistent with what you know?
Same thing.
Okay. So,
9 a.m. hour sponsored by Apt Electronics in Glenview. ABT. Apt.com is their website. Ask for Steve Shapiro. You walk in there, you'll get the best customer service you've ever gotten. 312-235-2525. A little later in the show, an amazing discovery around the Playboy Mansion. We got to get into that.
Really?
Yeah. Pretty amazing stuff.
I'll take your word for it.
And
was that one of your rapid-fire Twitter thoughts that you came across this morning?
It is.
Okay.
And a young lady who is a Michigan State grad, as she describes herself, attractive in her 20s, is willing to do something for Michigan State Final Four ticket.
Oh, goodness.
We'll tell you about that. It's all coming up, but Dave Lato's next in our studio. It's Cap and Haw. You're watching Comcast SportsNet, and you can stream us at WGNplus.com. Be right back.
This is the Cap and Haw Show from CSN Chicago and streaming on WGN Plus.
And leaving, I thought I was going to a place that was better, but because I'm back, I know I'm in a much better place than I've ever did. And thank you for allowing me to come back. I'm overwhelmed by the outpouring of support from the DePaul community to be back here. And it's not just a situation where you take a job and you start working, do it. It's to come back, and I didn't have time to do the research to know and understand how many coaches in this profession get to go back either where they were successful or where they failed. And so having that opportunity is extremely overwhelming for me, and it fills me with a lot of emotion.
All right, welcome back. Cap and Haw on Comcast SportsNet, your home for TV sports in Chicago and at WGN Plus. Dave Lato's in our studio. Great to see you. It's been a while. I remember running into you in Vegas when you were coaching at Missouri, and now you're back in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm overwhelmed and overjoyed. This is one of the greatest, if not the greatest city, and I'm glad to be back a part of it. My family really enjoyed, my wife enjoyed being here. So just being part of the fabric of this great city and what it stands for, the blue-collar nature, is really, really great. I'm happy.
All right, we have some tough questions we have to ask you. Loved you when you were here. Called a lot of your games. And I said, he left. He said, this isn't good enough for me. I'm going to Virginia. So been there, done that. I would have not, I wouldn't be hard for me as an AD to do it again. Do you understand that perspective?
I absolutely understand it. I absolutely understand why people would be upset, either by me leaving or me coming back, because that and it's very unique. And the thing that I'd like to make sure that I want myself to know, you all to know, or anybody to know, is that my life has been about relationships. And leaving DePaul for Virginia at that particular time had nothing to do with relationships, the people that I came to love here, both at DePaul and in the city. But it was a time, and I'll be very honest with you, David, I thought, and I probably miscalculated myself at that particular time, I had a notion, I want to win, and I still do want to win a national championship. And I had grown up in this business knowing that, you know, the best place to do it are those schools that are land-grant institutions, those big conglomerates that are the university of that state. That gives you the best opportunity. But what I underestimated, that the best resource that you can have to get you there are people. And the people of Chicago, and especially Jeannie and the people at DePaul, are the best assets that you can have to move the thing forward. And so that was a miscalculation. And I'm here now and back and given this opportunity, which, again, as I said yesterday, really doesn't happen. It's unprecedented in the sport of basketball or almost anywhere that you can do that. So I'm going to make the most of it.
See, I don't have as big of an issue with that as Cap does. I think you made the entirely right decision in going to Virginia. Any coach in your situation would have done the exact same thing. You had to take a shot, and that was a great program. You did a fine job there, and things happen in coaching. Whatever happened at Virginia happened. So I don't really think that is as big of an issue as some people. But I do think that the challenge exists for you, and this is what I think is probably independent of your candidacy, your credentials, is that how do you project a newness about a program? How do you project a fresh start when you have a building to fill, you have a reputation to repair from the program standpoint? It hasn't been good since you left. How do you do that being when you symbolize the past, when you symbolize old, when you're trying to sell new? I think that's a challenge for any coach, and now you're in that situation.
Well, look at it from a real estate perspective, okay? You've got a house. It's got character. It's got history. You know, some great things have happened there. But it's time for something new. You know, so what happens, especially here in Chicago, you have a teardown, okay? So it gets teared down. People don't understand. They look at the character, what the building was like. But then you start to lay a foundation. You put the bricks down. And then sometime in the near future, you see this fortress and say, you know what? Wow, this is beautiful. I want to visit. And I think, you know, that may be a little bit of an analogy that may or may not make some sense. But I look at it like that, in that I'm here to build. I'm here to restore. I'm here to provide opportunities for young people to be educated and to win. That's for us. Now, is it going to happen today? No. Will I convince everybody tomorrow? No. But over time, brick by brick, which is what I'm about, day by day, winning today for tomorrow, that it'll happen. I'm convinced of that. I've done it. I've been around enough people who are successful and borrowed from them. I feel very confident in my ability to coach this game and educate young people. So the proof will be in the pudding. You know, I can't say we won a national championship, so come win another one. But what I can say is believe in this process and understand, if you trust, if you are so willing to trust, that we can put you in a place that maybe you've never been.
You know, I remember Dave Leto's in our studio. My late father went to DePaul, undergrad and law school. I grew up as a season ticket holder in section 104, I think row 12. We sat there and watched all these games, and that's been our team. My brother and I have always been, that was our team. That was, man, everyone rooted for the Bulls or Illinois. We rooted for DePaul. And I always felt Joey took Kenny Patterson out of New York. Good player, but they left Tim Hardaway in Chicago, who was a better player. They got away from what made them special. And I feel like some of the assistants that have been here, you got to sell the this got to be a Chicago team. People will come back to it. Do you feel like that's something that needs to be readdressed?
Yeah, you know, my first time here, that was, you know, and again, when I got here, nobody knew who I was. They didn't know how to pronounce my name or spell my name.
Because, yeah.
You know, and I understood that. So I could not walk into a gym in this city or you know, this territory and say, hey, you know, I'm Chicago. Let's get this done. And them say, okay, Dave, yeah, we're going to do that for you. That was impossible. So that had to be built. And I thought 3 years later that that had begun to be a part of what we were doing. And unfortunately, you know, at the time I left, so now I think of it as unfinished business. I've got to restart some things. I got to rekindle some relationships. I got to build trust in people that still do not know exactly what I'm about. But when that happens, that young guy, that you know, Tim Hardaway at that time, you know, hopefully will see it, and the people that he listens to will see it and say, you know what, let's do that. But I also know that this is a great university and a great city, and I can't underestimate that. You know, similar to what I tried to do before, that you can go other places and have, people want to be a part of this city. People want to understand, you know, they love Chicago, and I've got to utilize that to our advantage as well.
And yet, Cap, I think that you'll find, Dave, you probably already know this, I mean, they have some pretty good talent from Chicago already. It's just Tommy Hamilton, Billy Garrett Jr.,
there's players,
Mike Henry. You guys have DePaul started out in the Big East 5-2. I mean, it's there. I think that what Jeannie alluded to yesterday was that this team, for whatever reason, did sort of underachieve. It was not a group that necessarily maxed out. And I guess that is part of your challenge as well. People know what they're getting from your style of play. They know that you're going to be defensive oriented. I think yesterday you put it well. You want offensively to have a flair so where people say they want to call somebody and say, hey, did you see that? How would you describe overall the style? Remind people what style DePaul basketball is going to remind them of, and what kind of player you're looking for when you do go out and recruit.
Yeah, you know, as I said, and again, we could look at the Chicago Bears, the Chicago Bulls. We can look at professional sports in general. We can look at youth sports. When you can defend your goal, when other people find it very hard to be comfortable in trying to score against you, that is a great thing. And I think it's the fabric. Again, if Tom Thibodeau is a great friend of mine. I've known him for 30 years. That's how he coaches. You know, is that we're going into defend. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And it gives you the best chance to win, not knowing all of the offensive talent that you have at your disposal. And so that's first and foremost, so that we'll have, you know, a group of guys and develop a group of guys that mentally as well as physically understand that every inch of the floor is there for the fighting. And we have to win that battle.
How far back? You go back 30 years with Tibbs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I
did you talk to him about this process?
No, I haven't. You know, he's engulfed in his own world right now. And when I'll stop by, you know, at the appropriate time when things come down, and we'll hug and we'll laugh and we'll joke. And the, you know, rest of the guys on the staff I'm friends with as well, Adrian and Ed and the rest of the crew. But, you know, he is a guy that, you know, when we way back in the early to mid-'80s was blue-collar. You know, he's from New Britain, Connecticut. That is as blue collar as it possibly can get. And I think that's part of what makes him successful here, because he has been accepted as a guy that's going to roll up his sleeves and get it done the right way. And that's by defending.
People love the fact that they know at 2 o'clock in the morning, he's not out at the club. He's not doing what he's in the office watching tape, and people get off on that. They love it.
Yeah, and you know, that doesn't happen every year. If you're coaching the Miami Heat, you probably, the opposite might be true. But,
right,
you know, I came to visit him one time when I was getting prepared to coach in the NBA D League, and it was late June. You know, it was a Friday when everybody is out by the lake and everybody's having dinner and everybody's getting ready to enjoy happy hour and those kinds of things. And he could be enjoying the spoils of being the Chicago Bulls head coach. But he was, as you said, watching film in the office. And we, you know, it was Friday night late. and we were in there. But that's who he is, and that's, you know, that's how I was raised. Jim Calhoun, same exact kind of way. There are those guys that get it done that way. Jeff Van Gundy, a good friend of mine, the same kind of way. You know, 5 o'clock, 5:30 in the morning, they're in the office grinding it out. And so we want to play like that. You know, it's what I do. It's how I see things going. But at the same point in time, we've got to do it in a way that is appreciated by the masses too.
Yeah. Before we break, was there moments where you were coaching a D-League game going, why did I ever leave Chicago?
There were some bus trips that challenged you, absolutely. Right. But it was all joy. Basketball at its purest form is coached in that league, and that was the enjoyable part of it.
All right, we got to take a quick time out. We'll come back more with Dave Lato, the new DePaul coach. He is in our studio. We'll be right back.